Amen. On March 16th in 1978, the Hokulea, a traditional Polynesian voyaging canoe, departed from Honolulu on a 30-day trip from Hawaii to Tahiti. For those of you who've seen the Disney movie Moana, you'll have kind of an idea what it looked like. The Hokulea was the crown jewel of the Polynesian Voyaging Society, which sought to recreate traditional Polynesian seafaring techniques and to celebrate that cultural history. The canoe had amazingly made that voyage from Hawaii to Tahiti 2 years earlier, but on this day in 78, they were trying a different route, and things didn't go as well. Bowing to pressure from the press and political officials, they set sail in questionable conditions, and 5 hours later, they got struck by a large wave and capsized about 12 miles south of the island of Molokai. The crew hung on to the vessel overnight, drifting farther and farther from land. Their flares went unseen, their rescue signals went undetected. On board, as a member of the crew that day, was Hawaiian surfing legend and lifeguard Eddie Aikau. Eddie had made a name for himself by surfing with glee the biggest waves on Oahu's famous North Shore and by being a fearless lifeguard who would rescue any swimmer or surfer from any situation, no matter how dangerous. While he was a lifeguard at the infamous Waimea Bay, he rescued over 500 people, and not one life was lost, which is incredible. He was named Lifeguard of the Year in 1971, and the phrase, "Eddie would go," became an island refrain, even a famous bumper sticker, referring to the fearlessness and the selflessness of this humble Hawaiian surfer. Eddie would go. As morning dawned on the Hokulea with no rescue in sight, the capsized vessel floating further and further from shore, Eddie convinced his crewmates to let him take his surfboard and paddle for land. He figured he could make the 12-mile swim, though by now it was probably much more, to the coast of Lanai on his board. But he eschewed a life vest as it inhibited his ability to paddle. And so, with a prayer on his lips and aloha in his heart, off went Eddie into the Pacific, swimming for land, looking for help. He was never seen again. The rest of the crew was spotted about 9 hours later by a passenger jet, and soon the Coast Guard had them all safely home, all except for Eddie. Planes, boats, helicopters searched the ocean for days, but they never found him. He was lost in that great blue abyss that was the source of his glory and his ultimate resting place. And now he lives on as a hero, a legend, an inspiration to all who brave those beautiful but formidable waters on that island paradise. I went for a swim this week at the beach, and as I made my way into the water and looked out across the waves at the expanse of endless horizon, I found myself thinking about Eddie, setting off on that last paddle. My father grew up in Honolulu, and my grandparents lived there for most of their lives, so I had learned Eddie's story at a young age, and I've always admired his heroism. But I also think he floated into my mind this particular week because of the readings I was mulling over for today. You see, this morning in our passage from Luke, we heard the story of Jesus' sending of the 70, 35 pairs of disciples sent out into the surrounding area with nothing but a word of peace on their lips and the wind of the Spirit at their backs. "Go," Jesus says, "like lambs into the midst of danger. Go, because we need more laborers for this harvest. Go, because people need your help, and they deserve to know that the kingdom of God has come near." Made me think of Eddie because Eddie would go. There are two things I find interesting and compelling about this commissioning scene, and one of them is the indiscriminate nature of it. Jesus does not specify who his disciples are to go to. They are to go to anyone and everyone. And if they are welcomed, they should remain, offering healing and hope. And if they are rejected, they should move on. But everyone is offered help. Everyone gets a chance. He does not say, go only to those people you know, or those people you like, or those people who you think deserve to hear this news. Just go on your way. And the other thing that catches my attention is that this whole scene is remarkably unsentimental. It is action followed by emotion, not emotion followed by action. And I have noticed that we, as human beings, tend to be governed first by our emotions. Now, emotional availability and attachment and openness are all, of course, very important, but emotions should not serve as the grounds of our ethical actions. Because if we need to care about something or someone before we will do something for someone, that will limit our actions. Because you see, normally, the people we care about are the people we know and we interact with closely. But usually our lives only bring us into contact with a small, relatively small number of people, and frankly, those people generally look like us and live like us, which means our circle of emotional attachments are pretty tight. And that can leave a whole lot of people out in the cold, needing help, but who we might just not care enough about to do anything for. So while emotions can be very strong and powerful motivators, letting them dictate when someone receives our attention or assistance is, I think, a poor foundation to build one's ethical life upon. What this means is that we have to be willing to help people before we care about them. We should not help them because we care about them, but we should help them because it is right. And let us not grow weary of doing what is right, Paul writes to the Galatians today. And whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, he says. And the way to do that, the way to not grow weary in doing what is right and to actually work for the good of all, is not to base our ethical acts solely on our emotional attachments. Which, yes, can be a bit confusing because Jesus tells us over and over again to love one another. But for all his talk about love, Jesus is actually remarkably unsentimental about it. Jesus certainly wants you to grow in your capacity to love all people, but he also doesn't want you to wait around until you care about everybody before you will help them. Love is a duty, an obligation. It's a command, not just a feeling. Feelings can be fickle and narrow. If you are a Christian working for the good of all, is your job. You're the laborer, whether you feel like it or not, whether you like them or not. And those we often most admire for the good works they did in this world, the Dorothy Days and the Mother Teresas of history, they actually tend to be the least sentimental about their work. Idealistic, yes. Faithful, certainly, but not sentimental. They do it because it's right. They help because that's the command. They love in truth and action, not just in word and speech and emotion. So while it may sound blasphemous to our modern ears, I think Jesus would say to us, his 21st century disciples, if he was sending us out into the world, I don't really care how you feel. I don't really care if you care. I want you to care and to grow in love. But God has given you a command to love one another by helping one another, so go on your way. If we wait until we care deeply enough about people to offer them our help, we will move too slowly. Our hands need to be bigger than our hearts. Legend says that Eddie Aikau had a pretty big heart. But I'm sure that as big-hearted as he was, he didn't care in the emotional sense about all those surfers he pulled from the crashing waves of the North Shore. He didn't know their names before he dove in to save them, risking his own life. And I'm not even sure how well he knew all the crewmates that he swam off to try and save, as he was new to that crew on the Hokulea. Instead, he saw a brother or a sister in need and he helped. It's that simple. He knew that love is first a duty and then, maybe, but not always, an emotional connection. Doing the loving thing, fulfilling that obligation to love, that was what he was about. Eddie would go is the phrase, not Eddie would care. In 2004, the Hawaiian Senate actually declared March 17th Eddie Aikau Day, making him something of a secular saint. And in the resolution marking that day, they said they honored Eddie not just for his heroism, but for his preservation of the aloha spirit. Now, Native Hawaiians often get miffed at our popular parlance has watered down the true meaning of aloha. It's not just the word you use for hello, goodbye, and I love you. It's an orientation towards the world, an open-hearted embrace of your fellow human beings. It means treating others as your family, whether you know them or not, whether you have any emotional attachment to them or not. And in that sense, Eddie was the personification of aloha. And I like to think that if Jesus had somehow ever made it from Judea to Hawaii, he might have embraced aloha as a better encapsulation for what it means to be a disciple than the word that has come down to us as love. For like the love that Jesus embodies and calls us to, aloha is not primarily an emotion. It is a state of being. That is why you greet the world with aloha on your lips. Now, your emotions may catch up. You may actually come to feel love for every person you meet, especially for those in need, and that is a worthy aspiration. Don't get me wrong, but there is too much need, too much pain, too much injustice, and too much sorrow out there for us to sit by waiting for our hearts to be stirred before we act. So while you're going about the work, the long-term work of expanding your inner aloha, grab your surfboard and head out into the crashing waves of this world, seeking those who are floundering, bringing them the hope of the good news of God in Christ and the commitment to help heal their suffering. For that is how we love. Say it, yes, feel it, yes, but really, like Eddie, just go and do it. Amen.